From Interfaith Alliance, this is State of Belief Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Welton Gaddy, broadcasting this week from Monroe, Louisiana.
To keep unmasking the scheme to control our Supreme Court, a scheme that is now poised to destroy a woman's right to make her own reproductive health choices, and to smash foundational Supreme Court precedent to get there.
It's almost boring. Every time something anti-democratic, anti-freedom happens, we keep finding the fingerprints of the white Christian nationalist movement, the previous administration, growing anti-Semitism and Islamophobia, the theocratic leaning Supreme Court, and of course, the likelihood of Roe v. Wade getting reversed. Ben Lorber at Political Research Associates has dedicated years to tracking and reporting on the corrosive influence of white Christian nationalism on our democracy, and he'll be with us to share his observations.
It changed in 1947, and the court said, you know, we think Jefferson screwed it up. Separation, he said, meant the government couldn't stop it. We think that it should mean that the church can't get involved in public stuff. And so at that point in time, we're now at the point where Congress shall make no law now means that a kid can't say the word God at a graduation, which is a stupid parsing of the Constitution and First Amendment.
Christian nationalism wouldn't even be such a threat if the constitutional wall of separation between church and state hadn't been eroded so methodically in recent decades. Historian Stephen K. Green has just published an important new book titled Separating Church and State, A History. And he'll be back with us to analyze how we got here and what options remain going forward.
Every Christian believes the Bible, or else they're not even really a Christian.
If you believe that, anyone who is not heterosexual should die, correct?
Absolutely, of course. That's what the Bible says.
When it comes to LGBT issues and organized religion in this country, there's a stark disconnect between the stubborn conventional wisdom and the facts. A majority of Americans belonging to almost every faith tradition supports equality and inclusion. But the loudest religious right voices continue to claim the opposite. A new national campaign to turn the truth into action is called Faith for Pride, and we'll get details from Interfaith Alliance Director of Field and Organizing, Maureen O'Leary.
I'm Ray Kirstein at the intersection of religion, government, and trying to understand each other. Religion News Service reports that an LGBTQI+ Muslim group, Queer Crescent, has launched the largest survey of LGBTQI+ Muslims in the United States. With the goal of quantifying the needs of this invisible and often at-risk community, the survey is set to coincide with the observance of Pride Month in June. Meanwhile, the anti-gay cohort of United Methodists, who broke away earlier this month over the issue, even as the denomination as a whole staunchly refuses to move toward any meaningful inclusivity for LGBTQI+ Methodists, has hit a roadblock. The Judicial Council ruled this week that there are ways to do this kind of thing, involving the General Conference, and that for now, the conservatives comprising the breakaway regional network of churches continues to be part of the denomination, like it or not. And new findings from the Pew Research Center confirm yet again that a solid majority of Americans supports at least qualified access to abortion, and that's regardless of their religious background. The only group deviating from that is white evangelicals. Overall, though, it's interesting to note that the numbers today almost exactly match Pew's findings from 1995, after diverging wildly at times during the intervening quarter century. And RNS reports that Americans, even evangelicals, stand ready to assist friends and family members who require abortion services, even if they themselves personally oppose and want to ban the procedure.
Our program airs every weekend on radio stations nationwide and is available as a podcast on iTunes and other leading podcast platforms. I urge you to subscribe to it today. State of Belief Radio is made possible in great part by the generous support of our listeners. If you've made a donation this week, please know how grateful we are for that. If you haven't pitched in yet, information on how you can help keep this show on the air is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. And now to our first guest. Ben Lorber is a busy research analyst at Political Research Associates who has written extensively about the corrosive white nationalist influence on our politics and on religion in this country and beyond. Not surprisingly, the Christian white nationalist right is immensely energized by the hope of Roe v. Wade being reversed by the Supreme Court. With a look at this and other currents feeding this dangerous ideology, I'm happy to be joined by Ben Lorber. Ben, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
It's not surprising to have Christian supremacists dancing on the anticipated grave of Roe, but how does this fit in with their broader agenda?
So I monitor white nationalist groups and some Christian nationalist groups in the U.S. And you know, the white nationalist group that I follow the most closely, which is also in many ways the Christian nationalist group, is called the America First Griper Movement. And they are a white nationalist group led by a 23-year-old young man named Nick Fuentes. They're a mostly very young movement. They made headlines earlier this year when they held a conference where Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar spoke alongside other elected officials. And the audience of around 1,000 mostly young conservative men were chanting Putin, Putin, you know, their leader Nick Fuentes praised Adolf Hitler. I mean, this is a hardcore white nationalist group that believes that white people are being, you know, replaced by minorities in the group. They're explicitly anti-Semitic, you know, and basically, you know, they are allying with broader Christian nationalist groups right now because they basically want to see the U.S. turn into a fundamentalist Christian theocracy where straight white men basically rule over everyone else. Mm-hmm. And so they are very excited about the Supreme Court's anticipated gutting of Roe v. Wade, mm-hmm. because it fits in with their broader agenda of, you know, just really awful supremacy and dominance over everyone who's not straight white. And now,
Ben, how would the loss of abortion in at least half the states empower their vision?
This group and many like them really hold to a male supremacist worldview in which, you know, women or anybody with a uterus should not have rights over their own body. I mean, there was a very disturbing video that circulated on Sunday, I believe, of one of these groypers at a counter protest in New York. He was praying the rosary in front of a church where pro-choice protesters had gathered. And video was captured of him heckling the protesters, saying, "Not your body, not your choice, my choice. You're going to have my baby." And so I think this encapsulates the kind of horrific vision of just, you know, outright male dominance they envision. And this is also for many of these white nationalists specifically, it's tied to the conspiracy that, you know, that societal elites, who they ultimately believe are Jewish elites, mm-hmm. are kind of pushing abortion on white people as part of what they call white genocide. So, they're trying to build alliances with mainstream Republican figures or mainstream MAGA figures, at least like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar, to kind of influence mainstream politics, to head in their even more disturbing white Christian theocratic vision.
You know, white Christian nationalism can sound like a broad slur, but you identify adherents to the principles covered by the label among political candidates, faith organizers, and others. Could you offer a definition that would help define who belongs under this umbrella?
So my expertise is specifically in white nationalism. So I'll start there because that's really more of my wheelhouse. And white nationalism refers to a movement that explicitly says that whites in the U.S. should preserve a demographic supermajority, and that non-white immigration is what they call the great replacement or white genocide. Which you know, they believe that, you know, as whites become a statistical minority in the U.S., this will lead to the destruction of the white race. So that's really core to, you know, to their belief. And you have, you know, figures like Richard Spencer and the alt-right, who everyone is familiar with, who espoused this, back in the days of the Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. So these, you know, these figures that you might think of are more on the fringe, but then you have, you know, advisors to President Trump, like Stephen Miller or Steve Bannon, mm-hmm. who essentially skirt right up to the edge of outright saying the very same thing. I mean, they talk in terms like we need to preserve Western civilization from third world immigration. And so when you really boil down to it, like, what do they mean by Western civilization? Essentially, they mean white European mm-hmm. people, right? So I would, that's really the ideology at the core of white nationalism. And like I said, the anti-Semitism is also very central. And there's a lot of overlap. These days, most of the folks who believe in white nationalism also believe in Christian nationalism. So they mm-hmm. essentially want to end all non-white immigration, right? You know, they want to kind of end all immigration, you know, to preserve a white demographic majority and to preserve what they call as Western culture, mm-hmm. Western civilization. And they also want to, you know, end all abortion, right? Even end contraception. They want, you know, zero rights for trans folks. They want to enshrine a vision where white people, you know, remain structurally dominant in society, and where their fundamentalist, you know, theological beliefs are enforced upon all of American society.
The yeah. movement made great strides during the Trump era. Do you see a failure on the part of the current administration and legislative majorities to take white Christian nationalism seriously and to counter it effectively?
Yeah, very broadly speaking. I mean, President Biden said during his campaign that the reason that he decided to run for president was because he heard the marchers, you know, at Charlottesville at the Unite the Right rally where these white nationalists were. In 2017, he heard them chanting, "You will not replace us, Jews will not replace us," you know. And he claims that that was the impetus that inspired him to run for president. So, you know, obviously he's claimed that this is, you know, a priority. And there has been some work to, you know, done, but ultimately, you know, if the current administration wanted to stop the advance of white Christian nationalism and were serious about it, then we wouldn't be looking at, you know, a reality a few months down the line, mm-hmm. Where the GOP is poised, according to many analysts, you know, to take, you know, control of the House and Senate. We would be looking at an administration and a Democratic Party that had a robust, you know, plan already in place to protect Roe v. Wade. We would, in my opinion, be looking at a presidency that, you know, was willing to take, you know, radical action to get as many Americans, you know, on his side as possible. You know, things like forgiving student loan debt, things like helping folks with healthcare in meaningful, substantive ways. I mean, I think we've seen this administration really not delivering on broad promises to, you know, to the American public, and it's not entirely their fault, but you know, the this kind of, you know, broadly popular policies are crucial to build a united front, you know, against the growth of white Christian nationalism, which is poised to overtake the entire GOP. I mean, mm-hmm. the GOP is the party of Donald Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene right now. And they are coming back to power. And they are very, you know, they've had a long-term plan for many decades at implementing their agenda. And they're very effective. And, you know, the last thing I'll say is that, you know, typically the Biden administration and many administrations, you know, they prefer to deal with the problem of, you know, domestic extremism by kind of like amping up the repressive state apparatus, right? You know, amping up the power of the FBI and the DOJ to violate civil liberties. And that's very dangerous because, you know, when that gets into the hands of someone like Donald Trump, these expanded powers of surveillance and violations of civil rights can be used against anyone. Mm-hmm. And so I'm also very skeptical of approaches to combating, you know, extremism that rely on prisons mm-hmm. and surveillance and criminalization.
Ben, going forward, what do our listeners need to be keeping their eyes and ears open for if they value the democracy handed down by the founders?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's obviously very important to keep track of these, you know, frightening movements on the, you know, on the right. But it's, you know, even more important to get involved with local initiatives and social movements to you know, to try to protect our democracy and make the world a better place. You know, go out to protest for abortion rights this weekend. Like, donate, you know, especially to local abortion funds in states that really need it. Get involved and support progressive candidates, you know, and beyond the 2022 midterms and the 2024 presidential election, you know, get involved in, you know, in social movements for around the issues that you care about. I think, you know, the surest way to combat these things is to increase all of our civic participation and fight against, you know, the tendency towards apathy or despair, but to really even kind of like find your people, find the social movements that you care about, and link up with other people, you know, to get involved and take action, you know, because it's kind of that long haul effort of building power and building social movements that's going, you know, to protect the foundations of our multiracial democracy.
Well, before we go, tell our listeners how they can follow your work and the work of Political Research Associates.
Yeah, so you can go to politicalresearch.org. That's our website. We are a Boston-based think tank that monitors right-wing movements. And you can also follow me on Twitter at my handle is BenLorber8, and the number 8 at the end.
Ben Lorber is research analyst at Political Research Associates. We'll link to his recent writing on the many-tentacle white Christian nationalist movement from stateofbelief.com. Ben, thank you so much for making time and enduring several reschedulings so that we can do this. We are very pleased to have you on State of Belief Radio.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Keep up your amazing work.
We need to take a quick break, but we're just getting started on this week's show. Up next, Stephen K. Green. His new book is titled Separating Church and State, A History. And later, Interfaith Alliance takes the lead in organizing Faith for Pride. We'll get details from Maureen O'Leary. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance. I'm Welton Gaddy.